The knights burst into Canterbury Cathedral at dusk, their swords drawn. Thomas Becket, the Archbishop of Canterbury, stood defiant in his vestments as they hacked at him with their blades, slicing off the top of his skull. One knight ground his boot into the dying man's head, scattering brains and blood across the cathedral floor. It was December 29, 1170, and this brutal act would haunt King Henry II for the rest of his life. The Plantagenets, England's longest reigning dynasty, ruled for 245 years through battlefield glory, political genius, and shocking violence. Their story shaped the very concept of England itself, establishing principles of law and government that echo into our present day. This wasn't just medieval politics, it was the forge where modern Britain was hammered into being. In 1120, the White Ship struck rocks off Barfleur Harbor, drowning Prince William and nearly 200 nobles. The 17-year-old heir escaped, but turned back to save his half-sister. Both drowned. King Henry I collapsed at the news and reportedly never smiled again. With no male heir, Henry named his daughter Matilda as successor. She had lived as Holy Roman Empress, wearing her crown in Rome and serving as regent. To strengthen her claim, Henry married her to 15-year-old Geoffrey of Anjou, nicknamed Plantagenet, for the broom blossom he wore in his ginger hair. When Henry I died in 1135, his nephew Stephen seized the throne. England descended into 19 years of civil war so brutal that chroniclers wrote, "Christ and his saints were asleep." By 1148, Matilda retired to Normandy, leaving her teenage son Henry to finish what she'd started. This strange-looking young man, reddish, freckled, with fierce gray eyes, combined tireless energy, political cunning, and ruthless determination. Henry II was crowned on December 19, 1154, beside his pregnant wife, Eleanor of Aquitaine. At 21, he ruled an empire stretching from Scotland to the Pyrenees. Contemporaries described him as perpetually in motion, flying rather than riding on horseback, moving in intolerable stages like a courier. While Henry traveled constantly, Eleanor established royal households and produced 8 children, a stark contrast to her childless first marriage to Louis VII of France. Henry's first task was rebuilding a realm shattered by civil war. Royal revenues had collapsed by 2/3. He immediately ordered the return of all royal castles, abolished unauthorized earldoms, and destroyed illegal fortifications, establishing that all power flowed from the Plantagenet crown. His true revolution was legal. He systematically extended royal authority throughout England, replacing local courts with standardized procedures. In 1178, he established what would become the Court of King's Bench at Westminster, England's first permanent Supreme Court. Yet Henry's greatest crisis emerged from friendship turned toxic. Thomas Becket, his chancellor and drinking companion, transformed into a zealous defender of church privileges after Henry appointed him Archbishop of Canterbury. Their conflict exploded when Becket insisted bishops could observe England's customs only saving their order, reserving canon law above royal law. 4 knights, hearing Henry's angry outburst, murdered Becket in his cathedral. Henry was forced to do public penance, being whipped by monks until he bled, an extraordinary humiliation for a Plantagenet king. Richard stood silently over his father's corpse in 1189, showing no emotion. Their last words had been bitter. Henry hissing, "God grant that I may not die until I have my revenge on you." But Richard's thoughts were already fixed eastward. Jerusalem had fallen to Saladin in 1187, and the 32-year-old king saw crusade as both spiritual duty and path to glory. Richard's crusade brought legendary status despite failing to recapture Jerusalem. After conquering Cyprus, he arrived at Acre in June 1191. Though gravely ill, his teeth, fingernails, and hair falling out, he continued fighting, firing crossbow bolts from a litter. After Acre fell, he massacred 2,600 Muslim prisoners and captured Jaffa, maintaining diplomatic communications with Saladin throughout. His journey home became a nightmare. Shipwrecked and arrested by Leopold of Austria, he was sold to the Holy Roman Emperor for 100,000 marks. While Richard composed melancholy songs in captivity, his brother John attempted to seize power. Philip of France warned John, "Look to yourself, the devil is loose." Richard's return was triumphant but brief. After crushing John's rebellion, he departed for Normandy to wage war against Philip II. In March 1199, while besieging a minor castle, Richard inspected defenses without armor and was struck by a crossbow bolt. Gangrene set in. The 41-year-old Lionheart died on April 6, 1199, having forgiven his killer. His death left the throne to John, a man described as nature's enemy, known for cruelty, weakness, and treachery. John's reign began catastrophically. His nephew Arthur held a competing claim backed by key territories. After capturing Arthur at Meyerbeau in July 1202, John alienated allies by breaking promises. Evidence strongly suggests John murdered the 16-year-old with his own hands, tied a stone to the body, and threw it into the Seine. Philip II exploited this perfectly. No peace until you first produce Arthur, a demand John could never satisfy. By December 1203, John abandoned Normandy, surrendering the continental empire his ancestors had built. John's losses triggered brutal conflict with Pope Innocent III. When John refused Stephen Langton as Archbishop of Canterbury, Innocent placed England under interdict in 1208. For 6 years, church bells stayed silent and the dead were buried in unconsecrated ground. John extorted vast sums from Jews and impoverished opponents. His most notorious vendetta targeted the Brieuse family, who likely knew the truth about Arthur's death. When Matilda de Brieuse declared that John had basely murdered his nephew, John imprisoned her and her son, where they starved, with reports that the desperate mother tried to eat her son before dying. After defeat at Bouvines in 1214, baronial rebellion erupted. Rebels seized London, forcing negotiations that produced the Magna Carta, sealed at Runnymede on June 19, 1215. The charter promised that no free man shall be taken or imprisoned except by lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. Peace collapsed immediately. Pope Innocent annulled the charter, war resumed, and Prince Louis of France invaded. John died on October 19, 1216, a plunderer of his people, deserted by his subjects, little mourned. When 9-year-old Henry III was crowned, Westminster was held by French forces. William Marshall vowed to carry the boy on my shoulders from island to island rather than abandon him. After victories at Lincoln and Sandwich, Prince Louis withdrew. Henry's long reign was marked by his struggle to escape Magna Carta's constraints. The solution came in 1225, reissuing the charter in exchange for taxation, a political bargain defining English kingship for centuries. Indecisive yet prone to Plantagenet rages, Henry became a magnificent arts patron, broadcasting the divine magnificence of kingship. By 1258, England was in crisis. Henry's empty coffers and an impossible Sicilian venture prompted armored nobles to demand reforms. Simon de Montfort emerged as the dominant voice, establishing baronial control through the provisions of Oxford. By 1264, tensions escalated to civil war. De Montfort's strategic positioning secured victory at Lewes despite being outnumbered. The following year, Prince Edward escaped captivity and trapped de Montfort at Evesham. With escape impossible, de Montfort fought valiantly in a thunderstorm before being killed, his body horrifically mutilated. Power shifted to Edward, who had proven himself both pragmatic politician and fierce warrior. "Edward, I returned to England in August 1274, after nearly 4 years abroad, immediately launching massive inquiries to root out corruption and survey royal rights throughout the realm. Captivated by Arthurian legends, Edward assembled 15,000 men in summer 1277 to crush Llywelyn ap Gruffydd, the last Prince of Wales. This meticulously planned campaign featured a fleet shadowing the army's coastal march while engineers cut roads through Welsh forests, neutralizing guerrilla tactics. When Wales rebelled in 1282, Edward responded decisively. Llywelyn was killed at Irfan Bridge, his head sent to London. Edward commissioned Europe's preeminent castle builder to create an unprecedented ring of fortresses, Conwy, Caernarfon, Harlech, Beaumaris, that permanently stamped Plantagenet power onto Welsh soil. The dynasty's final generations brought disaster. Edward II, obsessed with favorites like Piers Gaveston, lacked his father's qualities. By 1326, Queen Isabella and Roger Mortimer invaded England, forcing his abdication. He died in Berkeley Castle under mysterious circumstances. Edward III proved a stark contrast, establishing himself as a knightly king and founding the Order of the Garter. But the dynasty concluded with Richard II, whose promising reign ended in tyranny. Deposed by Henry Bolingbroke in 1399, Richard died in prison. After 8 generations and 245 years, the Plantagenets had ended, but they had transformed England forever.